Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This is Issues 2024. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Wichita City Council Member J.V. Johnston. Welcome to Issues 2024, J.V. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you, Steve. Nice to be here.
I'd like to begin with your life before City Council. Tell us about your childhood and your education.
Born in Topeka, but quickly my parents moved to Wichita. My dad was with Duckwalls. He was from Abilene, Kansas, and he played golf with the guys that ran Duckwalls, so he ended up at Duckwalls. And just a long story short, the clothing store came up for sale just down the street from Duckwalls, and the landlord didn't want it to go empty, so he said, Jerry, why don't you buy it? So he bought the store, realized 2 weeks later it was broke, and he made a big mistake.
No.
But he worked hard, and he was a great guy, and he made it work. Fast forward to my grade school, it's the All Saints in Cape and Mount Carmel.
Okay.
Played basketball, a lot of basketball at Cape, and went to Newman, also played basketball at Newman. I had a great time there. And 2 weeks after graduation, I started the store. Interestingly enough, my father gave me a choice. I said, I really want to coach basketball. And I said, and I got offered the freshman coach at Cape and Mount Carmel, where I had gone. And he said, well, JV, you can either coach or work at the store. You're going to have to pick. I said, I can't do both. He said, nope, can't do both.
Huh.
So I got married also 2 weeks after. And so I started working at the store. So I spent 36 years there.
What year did your dad start that store?
He bought it in 1965.
Wow. All right.
So the store goes back to 1914.
How about that? And what was it located? What street was it on?
It was initially it was in the Boulevard Plaza.
Oh yeah,
George Washington and Lincoln, and then he moved it to Hillside.
Yeah, out on Hillside.
And then when Kevin Edmondson and I bought the store, we moved it to 21st and 96.
All right. What did you do best in school besides basketball?
I was really good at math. And I loved history, so that's about it. And in college, I played a lot of pinball and ping pong.
Okay.
So a guy gave me advice when I went to college. He said, "JV, he says if you get up at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning, get to class, and when you're not in class, if you just study until about 3 or 4 o'clock, you'll have your evenings free." And that's what I did.
Okay.
So.
Let's talk a little bit more about your career at Johnson's Closures. Did you have a lot of people working for you? Was it tough? I guess there's probably in any business like that, there's good times and bad times, huh?
Yeah, there is. We went through a couple of recessions. My dad and I both were broke twice, but just on paper only. So the bank said, no more money. You can't do that. And so anyway, there were good times and bad times, mostly good times. So it was what I really, really enjoyed were the customers, at least 99% of them. What was really tough and managing people sometimes can be tough. Having the responsibility to get the bills paid, the invoices and payroll, that can be stressful at times. But overall, I liked that no day was the same. Every day was different. And I got to meet and talk to so many people, really nice people.
Did you retain any profound life lessons from working in retail?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah, it's similar to people who wait tables at a restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, just treat everybody nicely.
Yeah.
And that was one thing my dad stressed, was it doesn't matter how anybody looks when they come in, what kind of car they drive, where they live. You treat them all like they're the king of the world and treat everybody nicely. And I hope all of our staff picked that up, and I think they did. And we were pretty much known for that.
What's the hardest part of running a small business, JV, you think?
The hardest part is by far is that you are the sales manager, you're the accountant, you're the bookkeeper, you're the HR person, you're the manager. I mean, you just do everything. And every small business is like that. You just have to be a master or at least good enough at everything to make it go, because you don't have an accounting staff. You don't have a sales staff, you know, sales manager type of deal. So you just have to be good at everything and multitask and juggle a lot of balls in the air at one time.
You know, something I've seen in politics over the years is people will run for office. I'm going to bring business practices and make the government work that way. Is that the way it really goes, or do you think?
Not at all.
Okay.
I tell people that I've got the trifecta. I've got private business experience. I've got the university experience. And now I've got the government experience. And those are all three separate animals, so to speak. So, yeah, it doesn't work like that. So
business principles. Okay, listen, yeah, you also... Johnson's, and then you worked at Newman. You were in education for a while, right?
I was. I liked that. And that was kind of a weird deal. I never thought I'd ever leave the store. You know, when you've got a business, it's kind of your identity. It is your identity. And never thought I would leave there. And it sounds weird, but I got a call from God. Four weird things happened all within a week that led me to Newman. They had a science building project that had been going for, including the silent phase, about 2 years. They were at $8.7 million, and Dr. Croce had just asked the latest VP for advancement to resign, and through a series of events, I ended up with that job. So...
How long did it? It was good. How long did you stay out there doing that?
It was almost 6 years.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, we had a really good team to raise the money. We got to $29.5 million in 22 months.
Ooh, okay.
From 8.7.
Wow.
So that's almost $1 million a month. And it's hard work. It's also luck, and it's Bishop Gerber too.
Wow.
He was a big reason for that too. So that was fun. Enjoyed it. Long hours, hard work, but a great reward at the end, because he got to see the building and I got to give him a tour late one night, you know, and when he was in a wheelchair, got to give him a tour of the building. And that was actually one of the most highlights of my life, was giving him that tour.
And Bishop Gerber has passed by now, right?
Yes, yeah. He passed not too long after that.
Okay. Now, I understand you work with the Guadalupe Clinic. Tell us about
that. I do.
Tell us about that. What do you do there?
Yeah. Well, I allegedly run it.
Oh, okay.
I'm the executive director. So I know people know what we are, but we're two free healthcare clinics that only serve people with absolutely no insurance of any kind, so no Medicare, no Medicaid, and living within 200% of the federal poverty level. So it's a wonderful mission. I tell people we have the continuum of care, you know, it's private insurance. Then there's the FQHCs, federally qualified healthcare centers like GraceMed, Hunter Health, and HealthCorps. They take Medicare and Medicaid. They also see uninsured. They have a sliding fee, usually from about $25 to $100, which is not much. And they all three do a great job. And then we're right below them. So we're right below them. We only see people with no insurance.
How many patients do you think you have at Guadalupe?
Well, this year we'll have over 11,000.
Really?
Patient visits. Yeah, patient
wow.
visits. Now, that's probably around 4,000 patients. A lot of patients have to come in every 3 months because they have diabetes and they need diabetic medication and need to be seen.
Well, I'm going to put words in your mouth. That's a spiritual mission for you as much as anything, I'll bet.
Yeah, it is. I tell everybody, I said, between the two jobs, this is the one I really, really like.
Okay, yeah. It's too bad you don't have a basketball team. Then you could coach the basketball team there, huh?
I know. I got to coach my kids and my granddaughter for 14 years. So
there you go. There you go.
I got my coaching in.
Now, you're celebrating a year as a city council member. What motivated you to run for public office?
I said 75, 80% of it, probably maybe 90%, was the homeless issue. I was on Brian Fry's district advisory board for DAB 5, and I pretty much learned that through that process that the city council was going to give $8 or $9 million, and they were going to build a building for a shelter, and they were going to put an RFP out to run it to one of the agencies. Then all the other nonprofits were going to help them. And I knew that wouldn't work, and this is why. When I got to the clinic, we needed to get on the right path. That path took about 18 months to get there. After I did that, I started networking with, because I wanted to know what other nonprofits, what their mission was, and how the leader thought. And I wanted to get to know them, and so invite a lot of them out to lunch or breakfast, and probably had a dozen meetings. And a couple things I found out was, one, it's all about the money, which I get, because every July 1st, I start with zero, and I've got to get to $1.9 million by the end of June. So I get that. The second thing that really surprised me was all nonprofits do not get along, or at least work with each other. Maybe they get along, but they don't want to work with each other. So one would say, I'd work with A and B, but not C. The next one said, I'll work with C and B, but not A. And, you know, it was different. And I never asked the reasons why, because I didn't really want to know why. But through that process, I found that all nonprofits would not work together. So I knew that model would not work for the homeless. And we'd essentially be doing the same thing that we're doing now. And we needed a new model. So I decided to run, and I kept networking with people. And one of the people I networked with was Vera Bothner. And I told Vera just what I told you. And she said, she quoted someone else, but I'm going to give her the credit for it. She said, what if you had a 501c, a separate 501c3 that had representatives of some city, county, nonprofit world and business that ran it, and they hired a CEO to run it 24/7, 365. And I thought about that for a few days, and it's kept coming back to me. And I said, you know what? I think that's the answer. So when I got on city council, I kept promoting that idea, And that's the idea that the council and the city manager went with. And that's where we've got the nonprofit now. And that's in the process. It's stood up now. But we need to expand the board and then get that search for that executive director on board so it can build those relationships, can start raising money for it, because I don't think government's going to fund all of it, and just really make it work and have everyone that wants to be involved in the solution of solving homelessness.
You're listening to Issues 2024 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Wichita City Council Member J.V. Johnston. So the shelter is up and running, and it seems like that you've accomplished everything you needed to, and now you can quit, right?
We're not done yet.
No, District 5 now, and that's the northwest corner of the city, correct?
It is.
And the new water treatment plant is located in your district. I drive by there quite a bit, and that's an impressive complex.
It is. Actually, it's barely in District 6.
Oh, that's not in your district?
No, it's not. Just barely in District 6.
That doesn't mean we can't talk about it, right?
We can still talk about it.
Well, our water supply has taken center stage recently when it comes to challenges for our community with the drought and all of that. What are your thoughts on water and sewer? Where are we going with that?
You know, I think the previous city council did absolutely a great job. They had a lot of foresight in planning this, not waiting till it's a problem and a disaster. They knew it's going to have to be replaced soon, and so they put the process in place for it. They got lucky. They did it when it was interest rates were really, really low. So that's going to save the taxpayers millions and millions of dollars in water and sewer rates. So I think the foresight was wonderful. I think there's been some bumps in the road since till now. But I think they've been very small bumps, and they've been overcome by the staff. And I think they're doing a good job with it. I'm looking forward to getting that plant online.
Yeah.
So we do have more options, water, and we're not relying as heavily on Cheney as we are now.
In the past few days, we've been looking at paving streets in Wichita, and one of my coworkers said, "Do you mean there's dirt streets? There are streets that don't have pavement in Wichita?" Well, I know that I live in Riverside, and there are quite a few over there, several over there anyway. So what's the process on this going forward? Is it something, you know, streets are not very glamorous, but you got to keep, you got to upkeep on them, and you got to spend money on them, right?
You do. Now, there's the debate whether, you know, In developments, people pay for their own streets through specials. But the other case on the other side of that is, you know, some of these streets are, you know, over 100 years old. And they didn't pave streets at that time, and they were dirt streets. And should we go in and pave those streets? And I think it's a blend of both of them. So we'll have to see how that works out.
Yeah, tell us about one or two of the biggest challenges you're facing in District 5. They're just for you and not the other district. Are there any special challenges in the northwest part?
Yeah, we have a wonderful, wonderful district. We have obviously one of the wealthier districts in the city. Not that everybody's wealthy, because there's not. We do have some dirt streets in District 5 too. But I would say the main thing is the new police station, which is going to be in process fairly soon on the land where Northwest High is. So get that up and going. And then we do need a new fire station in Northwest Wichita. So, you know, finding the right location for that and staffing that is important. And the third thing is kind of a thing I'd like to do, and that is the Proctor Wetlands. I would love to get that project completed, because that could be a regional draw for people coming to Wichita to come out and see the wetlands without having to go to the Flint Hills or somewhere, and kind of give that experience to them.
You know, and it's, we were just over the weekend, we're out in that area by Northwest High School, and I commented to Shelley, my wife, I said, "Boy, there's a lot of land between the street and the school over there, and room to put some things in there," and that's where the new police substation is going to go in, huh?
It is. Okay. On the very northeast corner there. So, yeah. Good location.
How about, let's talk about the city overall, the biggest challenges faced. First of all, you talked about homeless, and of course, that's huge. What other challenges does the city, do we face as a city overall?
I think the biggest one we've got coming is budget. Since COVID, there's a lot of COVID money has poured into the city, and that's mainly gone towards capital projects. So libraries, two police stations, a couple of fire stations, things like that. But, you know, that's come to an end. So, you know, how do we fund capital projects and then maintain our budget? And I don't think we're going to see property taxes have gone up. And the reason they've gone up is because of valuations. You know, when the county appraiser increases your property taxes, you know, your property tax is going to go up. You know, mine went up 11% last year. However, I think those big jumps are probably in the past, and so we won't see the jumps in revenue for the city. So how do we make do with what we've got now and provide the services that we need to provide? I think that's the biggest issue.
Are there other sources of revenue we need to look at? I mean, I hate to say this because people will shoot me, but are we paying enough in sales tax? Should we bump that up overall?
Well, you know what? that would be an interesting question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. You all have to get killed if we say
yeah,
that.
That's right.
But you know, that might be a possibility. And for this reason is, a lot of the bedroom communities around Wichita are using Wichita streets. They're using the Wichita services. Library, a lot of things they're coming in and using up of in Wichita, but they're not paying the property taxes for it. Now they do pay a little bit in sales tax, do get a little bit of money from that. But you know, is there a way we could maybe have a sales tax and then reduce the property taxes for people? You know, that's something I'd like to look into. I know that's something that Commissioner Beatty on the county side has mentioned several times that he'd like to look into too, so I would be open to that.
I don't know if you get, well, I know you get downtown now and then, but the things that are going on down in the old, where the old Macy's buildings used to, and Henry's, all this new medical stuff in these buildings, that's pretty exciting. That's pretty exciting stuff going on, isn't it?
It's real exciting. That will give another boost to that whole area, downtown area, and we're getting really close with the number of units coming on, as far as apartments and stuff, getting close to have enough population there to support a grocery store in downtown. Mm. And I think that's really when we can say our downtown has made it, when we do have a grocery store downtown.
How important are the city council advisory boards?
You know what? When I was on it, I'm not sure I thought it was that important. Now I think they're really important. It is a good sounding base for the council members, and especially in zoning cases. The advisory in zoning cases, but how they vote does matter, how many votes it takes on the city council to get something through on a zoning case. And the council members really look at how the DAB feels, the district advisory board feels, about a particular zoning case. So I think they're very important.
What's the hardest part of your job as a city council member?
For me, it's between the two jobs, it's balancing my time, which I've finally got down. First 6 months, it was a nightmare. But the last 5 months, it's been okay. That's been my most difficult challenge. And then listening to people, but that sounds bad, but ignoring the very few loud voices that are against everything or have a one point of view that they think everybody has and most people don't. So trying to ignore those voices.
That's a nice way to put it. But I understand exactly what you're saying there. There are some people who just beg at the top of their lungs to be ignored. And
that's right. That's a good saying.
What do you like most about being a city council member, JV?
Honestly, I like the other members of the council. They are all really nice people. They all really care about the city. We all get along. We do disagree, and sometimes you'll see a spat on the bench there. But when everybody gets back together again, everybody's really nice to each other, and we get along really, really well. So, that's what I like the best.
All right, and the new mayor, Mayor Lay, she doing okay for you there, Mayor Wu?
Mayor Wu is doing well. Nobody works harder than she does, I'll tell you that.
All right. Well, listen, we're out of time. Appreciate talking to you. Maybe we can talk again here in a few months. What do you think?
I appreciate it.
All right.
Yeah, anytime.
Our guest is Wichita City Council member J.V. Johnston. And, again, that's District 5, northwest part of the city. That's all for this edition of Issues 2024.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.